Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection together. This is episode 14, and today we'll be talking about the final guidepost, which is cultivating laughter, song, and dance. So do you remember yesterday when we were doing our test for the podcast, and I was thinking, like, why does this sound so tinny and echoey? Like, what's going on?
Yep.
And we couldn't figure it out. And then at the end of the podcast, we went to unplug my computer and pull out the mic and realized
it was plugged into the wrong computer.
The mic was plugged into your computer.
Yeah.
So that's why that was
maybe doing sounded that. Different last night. That's why.
So she starts this chapter with this quote.
Yeah. Let me read it. So it says, dance like no one is watching. You maybe read this. Dance like no one is watching. Sing like no one is listening. Love like you've never been hurt. And live like it's heaven on earth. By Mark Twain.
I see that kind of that quote like posted by like every girl at least once on their Facebook thing. Maybe not every girl.
So have you ever read anything by Mark Twain?
Like didn't he do like Huckleberry Finn or something?
Yeah. Have you read it?
No.
Okay. I have. What else? What else did he write? He wrote this weird book about like a guy who time travels back to the Middle Ages, and then I think it's like thrown in jail, but then he predicts an eclipse and he gets out. Anyway, it's kind of a weird book. So I read that quote and I said, that doesn't sound like Mark Twain.
Okay. It doesn't sound like something he would write.
No. Because like Huck Finn, it's like he's, you know, going down the Mississippi on like a raft and, you know, breaking the law. It's like maybe, or Tom Sawyer getting Huck to paint the fence.
Yeah.
Do you know these stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. That's okay. Why.
You know, like the summary?
He's a writer, so I feel like
he could just make stuff up and
I assume that he has some sort of like, you know, like connection with, you know, I don't know, these sort of whatever the words are, creative things.
Well, but definitely, my vibe from it is definitely more Grumpy Cowboy. So I looked it up.
And you didn't say it?
No, he didn't. It wasn't him at all.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
It's actually from like an 80s country song.
That makes way more sense.
Right? Like it's just like...
Way more sense.
You gotta dance like no one's watching.
That is not the song. That is... Chicken
Soundgarden.
Jericho. Soundgarden is grunge.
Okay. Anyways.
Like a Chicken Jericho.
Yeah. So it is... Dance Like No One's Watching is not Mark Twain. No. I doubt that man ever danced in his life.
Yeah, that... But when I see that quote, like, my eyes roll into the back of my head.
Yeah.
But that's because I need to read this book. I think my heart believes it. My heart totally believes it.
Yeah.
But it just sounds so cheesy, and I just have, like, a low tolerance for, like,
cheese ball.
Even though, like, I believe this stuff, but it's just like, ugh, why does it sound so dumb?
Yeah.
So here is what she learned from about dancing from her research, or like not just dancing. And also the baby is here with us. So if you hear some screams, that's him.
Yeah.
Laughter, song, and dance create emotional and spiritual connection. They remind us of the one thing that truly matters when we are searching for comfort, celebration, inspiration, or healing. We are not alone. I read that and I was like, what?
Well, it's really awkward when you laugh all by yourself though, right? So laughing with other people is a lot.
No, I guess it does create connection. Yeah, I guess I was reading it just in the context of just dancing. Like, dance creates an emotional and spiritual connection. I don't know. I'm skeptical.
my dancing probably doesn't create much spiritual connections. It creates laughter though.
I mean, I can maybe some kinds of dance can cause...
Yeah.
Especially if you're Baptist.
Yeah, that's why Baptists don't allow dance dancing.
Because of the deep emotional connection that happens afterwards.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
But I guess...
Not that that would represent any Baptist that I know or have known.
It's true.
I don't know. I've never seen them dance, but I don't know if they...
So she says, shame resilience requires laughter, though.
Hmm.
And she calls... It says there's a type of laughter that helps us heal. She calls it knowing laughter, which sounds like... I don't really know what that means. But she says it's the kind of laughter that you can do with someone that communicates, I understand and I'm with you and I get it.
Hmm.
Which, like, reminds me of that quote that you say. It's one of my favorite quotes of yours. Okay. I don't know who you stole it from, but
yeah, what is it? You have to laugh or cry?
Yeah, you either got to laugh or cry.
Okay.
because I think it's just so true. Like, you just spitting that through. I choose to laugh. You and I tend to be like, we'll laugh, right?
Yeah.
We'll joke about stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm actually pretty good at that idea of like knowing laughter.
Yeah.
I'm good at also like self-deprecating laughter, all that kind of stuff, jokes like that. But the knowing of like, you know, when people are crying and like we can laugh about the ridiculousness of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm able to do that.
Yeah, sometimes to our detriment.
I guess.
If you're laughing, sometimes.
We could do all kinds of laughter. Bare Naked Ladies song. What?
Work those guys in. The Bare Naked Ladies were like, I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral.
Yeah, well, that's...
It's like, you're just a jerk, actually.
No. That's a nervous response.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like...
You're not supposed to laugh at funerals.
No, you're not supposed to, but it's a nervous response where you feel so, like, weird and sad and you don't know what to do and you start laughing. Like, that's actually a known thing. Do you remember when I passed out in the metro when I was pregnant with Jack, our first? And so, like, I passed out... And I go to the ambulance, like, take out the ambulance to the hospital, and I'm 15 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not really even showing you it, because it was my first baby. And I said, I'm pregnant. He's like, how many weeks are you? I said, 15. He's like, well, 50? And I was like...
He said 1-5 or 5-0.
Yeah, and I was like, what kind of doctor are you?
So just so you know, like, pregnancy, you maybe heard that it's 9 months. Yeah, I hope you know that maybe by now to our audience.
Yeah.
That's 39 weeks. So 50 weeks of pregnancy would be a very, very long pregnancy.
Like, you could go long.
That's a full year.
Some obstetricians would let you go long to like 42 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
Like 42 weeks would be like the max. So 50 weeks is like... That's a 2-year-old, basically.
I'm assuming he was a doctor, right? That we were talking to. He wasn't just like a cleaning guy that came by.
I wasn't very clear because at the end... Anyways, we're getting along on the story.
Well, I would just say this is why I'm taking social distancing so seriously, because I have way more confidence in my ability to social distance. Because if I had to the hospital with that doctor, like, who knows?
He seemed like a dummy. Like, so we did these EKGs and all that kind of stuff. And at the end, he's kind of like, well, you know, sometimes people just pass out because, like, of motion. And you just, like, I was just like, are you joking me? Like, he basically tells me that, you know, I've never been in a car before or something like that. But anyways, I looked it up. Google gave me a lot more answers. But that's Dr. not Google. The point of the story. The point of the story is that...
We laugh.
We laugh the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. And when we weren't admitted, but we were in the back of the emergency. And people were looking at us like, who are these wackadoodles? Because we just couldn't stop cracking jokes. And that is how we deal with life, right, Timmy?
Stress. Yeah.
Mummy is like... when I was giving birth, cracking jokes, just constantly. This baby is gonna be chatting away here.
So, a lot of Timmy content tonight.
So, laughter is how you and I cope.
Yeah.
And I tend to like draw attention to how weird and painful things are through humor, and I think that is like maybe not always how the great use of humor.
Yeah.
In my life.
Hmm.
Because I can, like, I think I've learned that I probably need to experience, like, just let myself feel the discomfort a little bit more than
because you
like,
can kind of be deflecting, right?
That's what she totally says, do that like, all the time.
True laughter is not self-deprecating
or
deflection.
Yeah, that's what I do. I, like, joke about it so that nobody else will joke about it first.
Oh, beat them to the punch.
Yeah, basically. Hmm. That happened once. So I was taking some medication that... gave me really weird dreams for a while, and they were so weird. So I would actually I would tell them, like, you know, during staff meetings, I'd be like, check out this crazy like weird dream that I had. And then finally my boss was like, you probably should stop telling us this, like, not that it's a problem, but like I'm gonna start making fun of, or like not making fun of, but like, you know, making reference to these jokes, because also I would say like, because I'm crazy, I'm taking this medication. Anyways, he's like, probably you should stop doing that because I'm going to make a crazy joke and that's not going to be okay.
It's not gonna
fly. Like, that's probably true. I shouldn't be doing that kind of humor.
Yeah.
So then she goes into dancing too. So those are the two things she says about laughter, is that there's like knowing laughter where you share and like commune with people about like the deep truths of life. And then there's like bad kind of humor. And then dancing, she describes the scene in her kitchen. She says, "I measure the spiritual health of our family by how much dancing is happening in our kitchen." She says her son's favorite dance song is Kung Fu Fighting, and her daughter's is Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. And they just like, you know, they'll do the twist, they'll do the Macarena. They just like, it just sounds so wholesome and nice and fun. I love that.
So I remember, because I read this like a week ago.
Okay.
And then we were like, I was like, I'm not sure if I like dancing. But then we watched Mary Poppins that night.
Yeah.
With the boys. We do movie night on Friday nights. And then afterwards, well, Jack loved watching like the chimney sweeps dance and stuff, or the lamplighters, I guess.
Yeah, because this is the new one.
And so he like danced along with them, but then at the end, like they're playing music at the credits.
Yeah.
So he got up and danced. And so Teddy and I did all of us dance. We were all dancing. So I don't know. It seemed to work. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. I verify. Check. True. Dancing is good for your family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. There's something about those old musicals, like musical movies. I want them to make more like Mary Poppins, because our kids love those, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, except for like the kid catcher part. Like, they love that movie. It's probably the singing and dancing, I think.
Yeah.
And so, she goes on then. She says a lot of people, like, dancing is just too vulnerable for people.
Yeah.
I have never really been able to relate to that, because, like, I'm always the first on the dance floor. Not always, but, like, often, because I'm just like, well, let's get this party started. Like, but maybe, I guess I have some rhythm, and so.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot, so I'm maybe more of a kid level of dancing.
Kid level. But, so she also talks about shame triggers. Do you want to read that quote?
Sure. So there are many shame triggers surrounding laughter, song, and dance. The list includes fear of being perceived as awkward, goofy, silly, uncool, out of control, immature, stupid, or foolish. The gremlins are always there to make sure that self-expression takes a backseat to self-protection and self-consciousness.
In her research, she found out that women often don't want to be seen as too loud or out of hand. And men were quick to point out the dangers of being perceived as out of control.
Just out of control on the dance floor.
Yeah, like, they're just like, whoa, chill out, like.
Yeah.
And that she used this the term tragically hip, which we know is a Canadian band, but she, like, used it, and she said, people care so much about looking cool, it becomes, tragic. Like, that's how she uses the term. It's, like, just kind of sad, because they just, they care too much about that. I feel like that kind of describes me as a teenager. Okay. But maybe that's like every teenager,
about every teenager,
where it's just like, you know, all the dad jokes. Like, my dad is, he obviously, he's just like,
he's been practicing for a long time. Yeah,
but he would say stuff like that when I was a teenager. I would just be like, it would make me so angry. I was just like, oh, dad. Like, now they're funny. We all joke about them with my brothers.
Yeah, I guess we talk about dancing, but there's also singing too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be that, obviously, like, in a church context, I'm much more comfortable with that.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. You do sing more openly, and like,
so that feels more like a normal. Sometimes you just don't have the context for it, right?
Yeah.
Right. So like, I can't, like, I don't know. I'm not a good dancer.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some dancing I could do. If I can be next to you, then it kind of works, right?
Yeah.
Because you make me look good.
Sure.
Because you're pretty.
I accept.
Yeah. But singing.
Yeah.
So to the extent, like, so I remember having a conversation with someone in university, and she was like, she was just kind of joking around. She's like, yeah, I went to this church, but the music wasn't very good, so I left. I was like, okay, yeah. But she was joking because she thought that wasn't a serious reason to leave a church. But for me, it's like, no, like, if people, like, if we're Christians and we aren't happy enough about it to sing about it,
yeah,
it's like, I don't want to be around people like that. So, I would leave a church, you know, like, or I don't know, some if I would people, at this point
they're judging the music from the front, but you judge the singing of the congregation,
the singing, and I mean a bit the quality, music, like, if they care enough about it to make it singable, you know.
But I love that you love to sing loud, like at church.
Hmm.
And
oh, now I'm self-conscious.
No, but you've said that you sing loud on purpose, you know, like that we talked about
not
this.
Excessively loud, I hope.
No, but like okay. Enough that like everybody else should be singing along, or right? Like
yeah.
But you know, growing up, you know, my dad sang at church, but I like usually my experience was like men didn't really sing loud.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I grew up around people that can sing though. Like a lot of people in my family have good voices. So
yes, your annual Jibungus family reunion what do they sing always at the?
The doxology.
Yes, and it sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So she kind of takes she talks briefly about betrayal, which kind of pops up a little like surprisingly.
Hmm.
She says it's important. Word for this guidepost. I don't know why this one specifically, but anyways, she says, when we value being cool and in control over granting ourselves the freedom to unleash the passionate, goofy, heartfelt, and soulful expressions of who we are, we betray ourselves.
Hmm.
And when we are consistently betray ourselves, we can expect to do the same to the people we love. Ouch.
Yeah, that's a strong word.
But in reading this chapter, I feel like it helps. I feel like it encompasses the idea of wholehearted living a lot. Like when I think about singing and dancing, and I guess for me dancing, it just like, you know, be free to be goofy, like, or whatever. I mean, I don't do that everywhere, like at home with the kids and stuff, but that feeling, that sense of just like ability to like let loose, like that to me is like wholehearted. What do you...
I'm just thinking about, like, just what you lose when you lose the ability to laugh and dance and sing.
Yeah.
And even, there's nothing sadder like, than going to a birthday party with people that can't really sing. And then just everyone's kind of sings happy birthday. And then it's just like, happy birthday to you. But, like, there's a level of, like, community that just doesn't happen.
When people don't
have the discipline of singing,
yeah,
or like the practice at it, you know, and so, and maybe it's because my family, we do sing, so I expect it. Like I have quality standards on this.
Well, my family, right? Your family is more like church singing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But my family does more like music singing. I don't know if that sounds bad, but like
that's not music. Whatever you guys are doing,
I mean, make
more a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Noise. That, you know what I mean, though, like. My brother plays like Dave Matthews Band on the guitar, and like my other one is like drums and sings and or whatever. Like we're more like the musician-y type.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an important part of both of our lives. But it's true, like when you talk to people outside of the church, they're like, "Oh, you can sing?" And it's like, "Well, duh." Like I don't know, for
doesn't
me.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's like, "Well, doesn't everybody sing?" Anyways, so she also she quotes the Hopi Nation. I think it's Hopi. I looked it up to try and pronounce it properly, and there was no guide.
Oh, okay.
Pronunciation guide. So it's the Hopi Nation in the U.S. has this singing, "To watch us dance is to hear our hearts speak." And that, like, kind of what I was saying, hear our hearts speak seems to be a great summary of wholehearted living.
Hmm.
Like, to have the self-awareness, the lack of self-censoring, just to be able to be like, this is my heart, like I'm not afraid for you to take it or leave it, like anyways, I thought that was I like that idea. But she kind of goes on to say, life is too short to spend it pretending we're super cool and totally in control when we could be laughing and singing and dancing. Feel like it's just happy talking about this.
Yeah.
And you asked the question earlier when we were chatting about it before.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the difference between laughter, song, and dance versus play?
Yeah.
Which we talked about earlier. Did you have an answer for that?
Did I have an answer? Like, I think when I'm talking about laughter and song and dance, just does, for me, evokes just like a joy. Yeah. And I don't know if that's true for everyone, but there is like I said, that wholehearted quality where I think play and rest are more like, well, she does actually use the word soul care, with relation to song and dance and laughter, mm. which I can relate to. And I think play and rest is on a different level.
I guess
like
so,
play and rest is like how not to burn out.
Yeah, and play is just kind of like doing stuff that doesn't necessarily have a huge purpose.
Yeah.
Whereas like song, singing, laughing, dancing, it actually is like expressing.
Yeah.
Well, I will just say singing and laughing. I don't know if my dancing expresses anything, but it's kind of fun for the kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can express anything that's inside my body other than what I ate through my dancing. So, but dancing. You know, but then my dancing is maybe more playing.
More playing.
What I'm saying. Right, where it's just like it's purposeless, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
Right. But like singing and laughing, it's like no, like you're trying to get across an idea. Or you're trying to like
yes,
let your emotion out a bit.
There are some people who can dance their emotions or like tell a story with their dance, but they're like actual dancers.
Yeah.
But I love watching like those shows like So You Think You Can Dance and stuff like that. Like I guess it's the creative in me.
Stars.
No, not that one. Did you see that? We watched it one episode. I can't remember what it's called, but it was like those people who were they're dressed up and they're like it's called The Mask or something. They're wearing like masks and they're like doing some sort of talent and you have to like it's a celebrity in there. Anyways, it's fascinating. But
oh yeah.
It's really weird like anyways. It's very fascinating.
Okay.
Interesting. I love shows like that.
Okay. Talent shows.
So one of the questions like she talks about in the dig deep. She kind of, well, she just makes reference to, like, how you can live these things out. So she puts on music, and, like, they kind of, when they clean up after supper, and they kind of make it this, like, bebop kind of fun time. She also has themed playlists.
Okay.
Like, one's called, like, God on the iPod, and the other one's, like, Run Like You Mean It. And then she has one that's called Authentic Me, which is, like, all songs that make her feel the most like herself. And I love that idea. I want to try that. And then she encourages people to just like, just dance like every day.
Okay.
And we did this today.
Me and the kids. Yeah, that's right, you did.
So, well, for earlier, at the beginning, this morning, I think it was, I posted on Facebook, like for people to share what song they can't help but dance to. And so I got this whole list of songs from people and I made a Spotify playlist that I will share the link to later because it's fun. But I put it on, I tested it on the boys and they were like, so we all just like, because partly this is the other thing, we are on lockdown, right? And so like there's no way for us to exercise. That's not true. There's not no way for us to exercise because I do have like a Beachbody account, I can do all this other stuff, but like something that I wanted to incorporate this too.
Yeah.
And knowing that, just gotta get your heart rate up, whatever, it's so we don't get so fat. Fat is inevitable, but like so fat, maybe we can mitigate a bit.
Yeah.
So we gave this a try and it was a success. Got my heart rate up. Got to do some dancing. The boys got their wiggles out, which was also good. So I will share that playlist with
your dancing playlist.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Dare to Be Goofy. Dance every day. And so that's what we're gonna... Jack says, can we do this every day? And I said... You bet.
Yeah. Like he likes the goofiness.
He does.
So what other music do you like? Or what music did you like as a kid?
Oh,
when you were Jack's age?
I remember like this one song. It was the first thing the first song I ever remembered. And when it would come on the radio and be in the car and I'd be like, turn this up. Like, I love that song.
Turn it up.
And I was Nirvana. Like five or six. No. It was Walking on Broken Glass by Annie Lennox. And I don't know if it's this at the beginning, the like piano that, because I like always have had an interest and an affinity to the piano. But that one has like always been someone I've liked my whole life.
Yeah.
And what do you have a song that like?
Well, I was thinking on the theme of music and laughter too. I have this musician I like that Jess doesn't like.
Well, I haven't really spent a lot of time listening.
One, he's country, so you're not really
so
into
it's
that.
Like,
but some, like so I came across it, I don't know, someone linked to it on the internet again, this was a few years ago, in a line in a song where it says, "We're not the Jet Set, we're the old Chevrolet set."
Hey, you laughed. Good.
Ow.
And when I heard it, we were driving a Chevrolet, but I thought it was really funny.
Did I roll my eyes?
I don't know if you, I made you listen to it, but it's John Prine.
Yeah.
And so I find him funny, but he writes kind of folk music, kind of country music, but often kind of humorous too.
Yeah.
But I just heard that he has coronavirus and he's quite old at this point. So probably won't make it, but yeah. He's one that makes me laugh. Doesn't make me dance, really. But it's kind of music that kind of gets my heart set in the right spot again. So yeah. We'll link to one of his songs in the notes.
Yeah.
You can, if you haven't heard of him, you can listen to some of his music. He writes kind of sappy love songs and then kind of silly country songs.
Is he the guy that does the one about the husband and the wife or whatever?
Yeah, that are bickering all the time, but they love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is it for this final guidepost, but we are going to do a conclusion episode in a few days probably to wrap everything up, but go sing, go dance, get your sillies out,
dance like Mark Twain is watching.